We're having you stand up and sit down a lot just to give you a jump start on those New Year's resolutions you made, right?
That's awesome.
Y'all know this guy right here? Yeah? That's right. They're clappy today. If you haven't had a chance to meet Prashanth, he's been serving with us as a pastoral intern. He and his wife, Anusha, have been here for past 6 months, and they've come to learn a bit about how we do church, but the honest truth is we've learned way more from them. Would you help me welcome Prashanth?
Thank you, Pastor Nick, and good morning. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for this privilege to come together in your presence and to worship the most holy name. Lord, thank you for your presence in this place. You know our hearts or what's happening in our lives, but we don't know how we're going to handle these situations. But for sure, we know one thing, that you are our helper and our redeemer. Please take control of every situation. We need you, Jesus. Speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning once again, and it's been really wonderful, wonderful, and wonderful season, because Christmas is totally different, and y'all in little trouble because we are leaving to India end of February, but we really like Christmas that we want to come back again. I mean, it's such a beautiful season. We really, really enjoyed being, especially here at Mount Horeb, the celebration, we all celebrated Jesus, and for sure, it's been really a worshiping time and where a lot of people got to see who Jesus is. And thank you so much for having us here. And it's been really wonderful. We were able to learn so many things, and it's wonderful. And God's promises are always unique, and they are so powerful, and they are so encouraging. We all know some of the favorite Bible verses, like, hey, see, I'm doing a new thing in your life. Or like, I have plans for you, not to harm you, to prosper you. These kind of verses from Bible, when we read, those are like, wow, God has something new that is placed in my life, and I'm going to experience that. And we always look forward for that. Even I was one of those person, because when God opened doors for me to come to United States back in 2016, January, I was super excited, as well as I'm nervous, because I have no idea where I'm going. And I ended up in a small little town called Wilmore, Kentucky. You can hear sometimes you get my Kentuckian accent, because that's where I learned English. No offense. And these verses are really encouraging. So when we start experiencing with walking with in God's plan in our lives, things tend to look a little different than what we thought. And exactly that's what happening in my life. Before coming to States, I was a pastor, and things are a lot different. And all of a sudden, I became a student again. There are some special treats that I started to have. Those are papers, assignments, tests, deadlines. It was chaos, because all of a sudden this big change put me in a place where I had to learn everything, read paper again and again, to write a paper, to read books again and again, to write finish a test or a paper. It was a hard thing to do. I was like, God, you said it's going to be a new thing. Yeah, it's a new thing, but it's not that good for me to understand or comprehend right now. And there are a few other changes I just want to mention. One of them was language. I thought I know English, but after going there, I learned something else, that I understood that I need to learn not only English, but I need to learn accents. Because I say some words and somebody from one part of the country says, no, that's, you speak in southern part of America. You're not there yet, but I don't know that I'm coming to Lexington, but anyways, so people were trying to teach me different accents, which I was like, it's all same English. So it was totally different. I was learning. It was really interesting to learn. And then there was a difference in interesting difference with food. It's my favorite part. Because growing up in a country where I have never even heard about something called salads. No offense, I love salads today, but growing up, I know only one thing about salads because I don't know the name called salads, but all when I saw in a salad bar at school, it's all spinach, lettuce, nothing is cooked. So for me, growing up, there is only two things. Human beings eat cooked stuff and animals eat leaves. I was like, no offense, I love salads today, but that's what, like, because I've never seen something like that. All of a sudden, you take spinach, carrots, and lettuce, and everything you put on the top, and it's all, you don't even put it in a microwave, you just eat it, like. Because I followed a few people, oh, they're gonna put everything on the top, and they put this dressing and stuff, they're gonna put it in, it's like self-cooked thing. But no, I followed people, but no, everybody started eating just like that. It was so different. But, and there are some stuff called like burgers, which I never experienced those things. Pizza, it was super strange thing. Food was so different, and on top of everything, the most fun thing was how to use silverware. Yeah, using silverware was like learning martial arts. Trust me, because growing up, we never use silverware. We always use our fingers. That's what God created our hands for. That's what I was taught. Okay, I mean, some kids love that thing because here parents teach in a different way, right? So that was my culture, and this is what happening. It was totally different. Even coming to culture, it was so different. I was put in a place where I don't understand, and I felt like alone, loneliness, because I left my family, my wife, everybody back in India. I'm here trying to learn language and culture. All these things was making me so different. I mean, there were times in classroom when the professor was teaching, and this was a real thing that happened to me. There was in a classroom, the professor was talking about, and he said something like, teaching Yoda. Teaching Yoda is something from Star Wars. I have never heard about Star Wars. Okay? And he was talking about Yoda, and everybody cracked up. Everybody's laughing so loud, and I'm the only person looking at these people like, why are you laughing about? What's there? And I was so curious, so I just pulled out my phone so that nobody sees me. I was just putting there and like operating. Google, what is teaching Yoda? And it pulled up some of the pictures. Trust me, it's a tiny little creepy creature. I was like, why are you laughing about this? I mean, I don't know the context, okay? That's how you feel when you are in a different culture, and I don't understand those things, but it was a great time. I'm not complaining about those things, but I can say when I'm going through all these things, and one more final thing I want to share is, culturally, growing up, men never enter kitchen, like never. I never took my plate. I know some of you wants that here, but no. So I have never took my own plate and put it in the sink, like never done that growing up. So that is my culture. Women usually do that, and you don't even clean your plate, nothing. You just eat and leave. And that's how I grew up. But I came to the United States thinking that I have a degree from computer science. I was just thinking like, God brought me here, it's gonna be awesome. Because he promised me I'm doing a new thing, it's gonna be wonderful. But there are some things that look a lot different. When I came to seminary, I went into different departments saying, hey, I have a degree from computer science. Do you have any job that I can do for my part-time job? And every spirit, man, you have a degree from computer science? Oh, we really wish you came like 3 weeks ago, something like that. Because we don't have job now. We had it, but sorry, we don't have anything now. If anything opens up, we will let you know. That never happened. And I walked around all different departments, And I finally ended up in a place, and I asked this boss, and this guy said, yes, we have a job for you. I was super excited. And he said, you're going to work, right? I said, yes, sir. I really need a job because I need to support myself, and I need this job. So coming from a culture where I never even cleaned my own plate, and this guy put me in a dish room. Here I am cleaning 500 plates every single day. Every day I go back to my room, sitting in my room, I'm like, God, really? This is not you told me, like, I'm gonna do a new thing. Yeah, I'm really excited for a new thing, but new thing is not always fun. I'm not complaining about these things, but for sure I can 100% say that because of those situations, I am here today. Because of those differences and the hard time that I went through really molded me and shaped me for a future ministry. When we hear the promising words, it may be a new thing, but definitely, or it can be really difficult, but my God says, hold on, because he is not done yet. He is not done yet. This can be any situation we may be going through. Some things look like, oh, this is not gonna do anything good, but all we need to do is hold on, because he's not done yet. That's what we see in Luke chapter 7, verse 11 to 17. Here, the verse says like this: soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, don't cry. Then he went up and touched the bier. They were carrying him on, and the bier stood still. He said, young man, I say to you, get up. The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. A great prophet has appeared among us, they said. God has come to help his people. This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. All of us come across different situations in our life. Not only us, we'll be seeing somebody else going through this kind of situation. And when somebody else is going kind of this kind of situation, we stand there and see, oh man, that's really, really sad. Or we show a lot of pity, we show a lot of sympathy. We feel, oh, that's really, really hard what she's going through. But if we are in that position, we get into a lot of despair and confusion. Here, the widow has lost her only son. Let's look at the condition of this widow. First thing is her condition. The condition is so despair and confusion. Back then, she is in a desperate condition. Back then, there are no social programs like we have today, like having some financial aid or support. No, for a woman, if she loses her husband, that's the end of the world. She has to depend even for a day meal on somebody else. Usually when a husband dies, she has to depend on her children. And here her situation is even more worse. She lost her husband and she lost her only hope. That's her own son. She must be growing through a lot. Of all days, the death of a child is the most unnatural and the hardest thing to bear. I've heard many people saying that children are supposed to bury their parents, not parents burying the children. It's really, really difficult. Can you imagine the pain and the confusion and the uncertainty that she is going through? She must be going through a lot. She is like feeling lonely. How am I going to clear my bills? How am I going to eat? Where am I going to stay? Because that context in that culture was totally, totally different. It's not the way it is today. She lost her son First of all, she lost her husband and son. That's it. That's like end of the world for her. There's no hope. She must be super, super lonely. She is crying inside. She is grieving. That's a lot of pain that she is going through. Sometimes we will be going through those kind of situations. You may have gone through it or you may go through it. Sometimes as an individual may experience this thing, or sometimes as a family we go through these kind of situations. Sometimes as a church we might go through these kind of situations, or even denomination can go through these kind of situations. Looks like there is no way. That's the end. But that's not the end. Once back in India, our church, as a church, we went through this kind of situation one time. We started growing, and we were around 150 people, and we bought a piece of land, and we constructed a temporary place where we can worship, come together and worship. It was really good, and we started growing, but this temporary thing was a little different, where when it rains, it rains. Everybody take shower. When it is sun, it is super hot. Again, because of the humidity, we all take shower. So we decided, no, we need a better place to worship. So we decided, okay, let's remove this temporary building, a temporary shed, and we construct a full building where we can have a little safe and secure place. We can have some fans and stuff. But when we removed this, it is in a good neighborhood. There are no Christians in this neighborhood. So we decided to be there, and we removed the temporary thing, and we were planning. So like four of us were there. My parents were there, and a couple other people are there. We're all standing there and like talking about this place and all those things. And within no time, we have no idea what is happening behind us. There was a mob of like 50 to 80 people surrounded us, and we were like four or five people there, and they were like 50 to 80 people. And we were speechless, what's happening here? And the leader of the mob said, you know what? We don't want any Christian church in our community. We don't want any Christian worshiping stuff happening in our neighborhood. We want you guys to leave. And this is like our own property. But one of the beauty in following Jesus Christ is that helper. The Holy Spirit is always with us. Even in the times where we feel like we are stuck in a cage, but that still small voice speaks whenever you are open to it. That is what exactly happened in this situation. My father was speechless, what to do? We don't know what's going to happen. They were saying, look, we don't want you, we got to leave, and all those things. And when my father went to this leader of the mob, and he said, sir, we love our neighbors because Jesus loves you. And we don't want to cause any trouble for you. If you don't want us in this place, we will leave. But I just want to say something before we leave. God's presence is in this place. Don't try to take away his presence from your midst. I want to repeat that. God's presence is in this place. Don't try to take away his presence from your midst. And we said, sir, thank you so much. And we left the place. Like, we have no idea what we're going to do. But the word went out like a wildfire in between our congregation, almost 150. Everybody was like, this is the time that we all need to fight. But nobody went on fighting or raiding or protesting. They all decided to kneel down, fast, and pray. Everybody started praying. Like, there is no room for God to take a breath. Because we've been praying, fasting, and praying like, God, you got to do something. If not, this is like end. There's no way that we can go through this kind of situation. Please help us. That's what everybody is praying. And after a couple of days, almost like after 3 days later, my father went back alone to see if they did anything to this land, or they did some damage. We were just thinking. So he decided to go there. One day he went there and saw. And when he was about to see the place, the leader of this mob caught my dad. And that was the most scary thing, because he said, hey, you come here. So he went there and he said, you come into my house. That's even more scary, because he is the leader of the mob, and he warned him, and he said not to come in here anymore. And My father was like prayed a real quick prayer in his heart. He went into the house and he shut the door. That was not a good sign. But this guy said, what should I say? Like, people call you something. What is that? It's like, I'm a pastor. Okay. Pastor, you know what? It's been 3 nights. I didn't even sleep for a second. I don't know what is happening with me. It's something that's making me awake. I tried all the medicine that I can. I did whatever I can, but I couldn't even sleep for a second. Can you tell me what's happening with me? My father's like, I don't know anything. What is happening with you? And I'm not a doctor to prescribe pills. But there is one person who can handle your situation, and his name is Jesus. And his name is Jesus. But all you need to do is join your hands, close your eyes, and repeat after me. And they said the prayer, and they exchanged the phone number, they left. And next day, early in the morning, my father's phone rings crazily. This guy is kept calling again and again. And he went back to see him because he said, once he answered the phone, he said, Pastor, you got to come to my house right now. It's like, this is early in the morning. No, I want you to come to my house right now. As he went back, he said, you know what? I have never, ever slept like this ever in my life. I slept like a small baby. I forgot about everything in the world. It was such a beautiful and peaceful sleep I ever had. And now, I am the leader of this community or this group, but now I'm standing with you. Go ahead and start your construction from today. And that's where we started our church, and that's where the building is today. Amen. All glory to God. It was looking so like a dead end. There is no way, but all we need to know is we got to hold on because he's not done yet. This widow situation was almost, not almost, it's like that. That's the end of the world for her. There is no way that she can do something because that is the only hope that her son will be there, will be taking care of her. But there's no way. And she has never heard about anything supernatural that can happen. The beauty comes in this position right now. I love this place. The next thing that happened after her condition was confrontation. I love this. It's a confrontation or encounter between two things. That is hope and hopelessness. It's a confrontation or encounter between life and death. You see the beauty here? It's a group of people with a widow who lost her son. Everybody, I mean, that's what in this verse it says. There are a lot of group that is joined this funeral procession. And they're all going with her. Oh, feeling so sad, feeling so pity. Oh, this is so sorry. This should not happen for anybody because this is, oh, no. Everybody's showing so much sympathy towards her, and they join the group weeping or crying with her. They are leaving because back then, the tradition is usually they don't have cemeteries in the town. It's out of the city. You have these cemeteries. So what they're doing is they're carrying this dead person and they are doing a procession that they're carrying out this dead man and moving out of the town. And the interesting thing here is before chapter 7, in chapter 6, we see Jesus did a great miracle in Capernaum. He just healed one of the guy's servant, centurion's servant who was sick, and he healed him. He recovered. And people saw that miracle, which was like, wow, Jesus is full of life. They are all celebrating that awesome thing. And all of a sudden, they are following Jesus. In chapter 7, we see in 11, soon afterwards, Jesus went to the town called Nain, where this widow lost her son. And his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. So Jesus has a group of people who are following him. And this widow has a group of people who are following him. But the difference is a people with hopelessness, and here is the people with a lot of hope. Here is the people who has death, but here is the group just saw a life in Jesus. Can you imagine when these two groups are coming close and close and close. This is where it happened, at the gate of this town called Nain. And the confrontation between hope and hopelessness, and the confrontation between life and death, it's such a beautiful scene to see. Whoever saw the situation, they were like, oh, so sorry for this widow, and they joined the group. But there is something different with Jesus. We may be walking through the valley of despair. We may be walking through those kind of situations where we feel like, does really Jesus care about me? Or is there somebody who cares about me? Because I'm in such a situation, but I don't think there is a solution for this problem. But his presence makes difference. His presence definitely makes a difference. As he approached the place, he did not stop by looking at her, as his heart went out for her. And the next thing he did is he had compassion. He had compassion on her that brought divine intervention into her situation. The compassion of Jesus Christ makes difference. The compassion that he had brought divine intervention into this widow's life, where she felt there is no hope. There is a lot of uncertainty in her life. There is nothing good that's happening in her life, but his compassion brought divine intervention that changed her whole situation. That is what we need to know. All we need to do is got to hold on to it, because he is not done yet. He did a couple interesting things in this situation as these two groups kind of got this encounter. Jesus' heart went out for her, and when he saw the situation, that is what difference between how people look at your problems. Some people may be celebrating because you are going through trouble. Some people may feel, oh, so sorry. But when this wonderful Jesus saw her situation, did not react like the rest of the world. He reacted in a total different way, because he did something totally unexpected. Usually when a funeral procession happening, we'll pull over our cars and wait till it goes, because it's kind of a sign of respect what we show. And I mean, even that's according to law, and we follow those things. But here is the same way too, but Jesus did totally different, because we will never do that. That will be so awkward and unexpected. That's not a good thing to do. But Jesus, when he had compassion, he just walked up to this place and he stopped this procession and he touched the bear and he said, he stopped it. This would have made Jesus unclean according to their law. But his heart for you and me, it doesn't matter. He is not worried about the rest of the world. When you are going through those situations, his heart is after you. 2018, I don't know how it went for you. It may have given you good memories, good experiences, or it may be really painful time. But got to hold on, because he is not done yet. He's definitely not done yet. Jesus' view was totally different. As I said, his divine intervention changes our lives and situations. No matter what situation you are in, he's going to make that difference. But the interesting thing here is the King of the universe, the mighty, most powerful God, who is above all everything, who created the universe with all the authority. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." That's it. His presence made a difference. And this guy just got up and started to talk. And he took him and gave it to the mother, who is in a situation where she had no hope. Looks like there is end. I'm done. But because his presence is there, he is not done. And that changed this widow's life. A total different direction. The dead man sat up and began to talk. Oh, that must have been a beautiful image to see. I wish I was there to see that, a great miracle. It was a great confrontation between life and death, a great confrontation between hope and hopelessness. And when Jesus changed the situation, it is not the same. His presence definitely makes a big difference. Many years ago, there's a family of four, a happy family. These are not a Christian family, though. A happy family of four with two little kids, a guy and a girl. And they're having really awesome time because they have nice house, they have good business, they are wealthy, and everything is going really well. They are worshiping their gods, and everything was going so good. But things will change even in our lives sometimes in a very unexpected way. And that is what exactly happened to this family. In no time, they lost their house, they lost their business, they lost their property, they lost all the money. And it was such a desperate condition, they had no hope. Because they had everything in no time, they lost everything. It kind of, how we are going to survive with the situations? How are we going to survive? How are we going to feed these kids? I mean, life looks without any hope for them. And as this family was looking through the situation and decided, I think there is no hope, there is no point living on this earth anymore. And this family decided to kill themselves. And then they thought about their kids. Man, if we die, how are we going to take care of our, who is going to take care of our children? What they did was, okay, let's do this. We'll kill our kids and then we kill ourselves. Because there's no hope, nobody can take care of our children and our family. So they decided, okay, if we do anything in this small little town that will bring bad name to the rest of the family, so they decided to move to a different city where nobody knows anyone. As they moved to this place, there is something different happened, and they decided, okay, let's not do it today, let's postpone. So they postponed their plan. As they did, and this little kids, one of them is a girl who is in her second, third grade, and she has no idea because she's a kid. She don't know what's happening in her family. She was just thinking, oh, we are in a different city. It's fun. She must be thinking that way. But she just walked into the next street. As she walked into the next street, she saw a bunch of kids who are just sitting there, and she just wanted to go play with them. And she went there, she joined this group, but what this group was doing is they are listening to a lady who is in the street teaching about Jesus. So it's literally a kid's time in a street, they are listening about Jesus. She is sharing a lot of stories, and kids are listening so interestingly, and she got some candies, and they must be like waiting for these candies and stuff. So she joined the group, and she heard about Jesus for the first time. All her life, she's a baby, but still, she heard about her own gods, her own religion, and that's how she was taught by her parents. This is how we worship God. This is how we do things. But she never heard about something called Jesus. And she was questioned in herself, and it's like, this is something different, and there is something unique with this story. And as she decided to go back to her mother and said, Mom, I just heard something about Jesus, which you never shared. They said Jesus is the God, and I heard about this, and this made me think about it. I mean, this is second, third grade kid, has no idea what it is, but that kept her thinking, and she brought her mother back to this woman, and this lady recognized, like, your face doesn't look familiar. Are you new to this place? What's happening? And she started asking questions, and this lady was like, whether I should share anything, but she kept quiet. And then both of them went back, brought her father. So as a family, they are sitting there now. This lady started sharing about Jesus. As she shared, they started opening, like, this is what happened in our life. We felt there is no hope. This is the reason why we came to this place. But as we heard about Jesus, there is something that's changed our heart. Still, we can say as a family, there is a hope. There is definitely hope for us. We are not going to do anything that God doesn't want us to do. So we want to live and live for Christ. So they decided not to quit life, and they started a new business, a very small business. But after a couple of years, God called them for ministry. And they started working as a pastor. They planted three little churches in a rural part of our state. They started these three little churches. Today, there are almost 150 people. It's a lot of number, 150 people worshiping in small little villages. That's a lot of group. Worshiping in three different churches today, and they are the pastors there. Out of all this kind of situation where they felt there is no hope, and when Jesus gave them hope, they couldn't hold that for themselves. They decided to share to others who is going through the same kind of situation. And this second grade, third grade kid who brought Jesus into her family, she started growing up and she went to college and all those things happened. But now today, she has been married to a pastor and she is with us today. That's my wife, Anusha. So, he is not done in spite of the situation that you may be going through. If God can use a little girl, or he can use somebody, I think, oh, this is end, I don't think I'm retired. It doesn't matter, because he is not done yet. We see an interesting passage in Psalms 3. I really love this psalm, because here, I'll read it for you. It says, Lord, how many of my foes, how many raise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. But you, Lord, are shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. I call out to you, Lord, and he answers me from the holy mountain. The situation here was not a normal situation, because David is running away for his life, because his own son, Absalom, is coming after him just to get him and get the kingdom. But out of all that, David says this wonderful word, saying like, you are the only one who can help. And I know you're going to answer me from your holy mountain. I just want to read a quote that's from an anonymous author. When God wants to drill a man and thrill a man and skill a man, and God wants to mold a man, to play the noblest part, when he earns with all his heart to create so great and bold a man that all the world shall be amazed. Watch his methods, watch his ways, how he ruthlessly perfects whom he royally elects, how he hammers him and hurts him, and with mighty blows converts him into trail shapes of clay which only God understands. While his tortured heart is crying, and he lifts besieging hands, how he bends but never breaks. How he bends but never breaks. When he's good, he undertakes. How he uses whom he chooses. By every act induces him to try his splendor out. God knows what he is about. The David situation, he's going through a lot. But out of all, he's saying, Lord, you are my shield. You are my glory. The one who alone can lift my head high. He is shaping us, molding us. He is bending us, but never going to break you and me. Feels like hard when he is bending, but definitely he knows what he is about. His promises are real. He is faithful, and with all the confidence, we can come to him and say, I am in your hands. You are my confidence. You never failed me, Lord. And I'm submitting to you for sure. He knows what he's about. So hold on. He is not done yet. I don't know which phase of life you are in. 2018 was good, bad, different, but definitely the phase that you are in your life today can be different, but all we need to remember is to hold on, because he is not done yet. It doesn't matter who you are. All matters is he is a true living God. So let us look to him and say, Jesus, we are holding on to it because I know you're not done yet. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you. This widow is going through a crazy situation where she felt there is no hope, there is nobody who can help her, but your presence, when she was in despair and confusion, and everybody was feeling so sorry for her, but you are the only God, you are the only one with all the authority that you have, redeemed her from hopelessness to hope, from death to life. Life seems to be so different in some times, but we know for sure, we have that confidence, we can say that you are our God and you are the only helper and redeemer, whatever situation we are in. Lord, thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your sacrifice. Help us to hold on because you are not done yet. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.